May it please the Court, Samuel Kornhauser for the appellant, John Heineke. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
That's fine.
Thank you. Your Honors, respectfully, Judge Koh abused her discretion by dismissing the ADEA claim, claiming that it wasn't properly pled. In fact, she didn't claim that it wasn't properly pled. She said it was combined with a wrongful termination claim and claimed that I hadn't amended the complaint to separate out the ADEA from the wrongful termination claim. That's just incorrect. On the first motion to dismiss, Judge Koh said that there hadn't been any allegation that someone younger, less competent than Professor Heineke, had been hired to replace him. Therefore, there was a missing element in the ADA claim. I amended that. There was no indication that there was otherwise improper pleading of the ADA claim. So, respectfully,
it just seemed like she maybe elevated form a little bit more than
you're saying it better than I
is necessary.
Exactly, Your Honor. And the problem with that, and the reason that that's important, is because then she goes on with the rest of her opinion and denies jurisdiction based on an alleged lack of federal question claim. There is a federal question claim. There also, she also claims that the ADA claim is based on mixed motive. That's not true, and the court can't decide that at the pleading stage. I never alleged that there was a mixed motive. The allegations in the First Amendment complaint and throughout were that he was discriminated against because of his age. He's, at the time, he was 79. He's 81 now. He was replaced by a younger, less competent, not even a professor, an adjunct professor. The court says that because there was some or potential evidence to support the age discrimination that this replacement was going to be paid less than Professor Heineke, that somehow that's a mixed motive. That's not a mixed motive. That's evidence and proof or circumstantial evidence.
Mr. Kornhauser, may I interrupt you for a second? If we were to reverse on the basis that Judge Koh abused the discretion in not giving you leave to amend and state your ADEA claim in a separate cause of action, would that be satisfactory to you?
Yes, Your Honor. But
would you state your ADEA claim independently of the claimed wrongful discharge claim?
Absolutely,
Thank
Your
you.
Honor.
So how about the other claims, other issues you raised on appeal?
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted, because it seems like everything is premised on that lack of an ADA claim, and then...
Well, that's not so. That's not the case. The ADA claim is separate than the due process claim.
It is. Well,
they're entirely distinct.
Okay. Well,
you don't need one to support the other.
Why she dismissed the claims.
No, the first one, the due process claim, is a federal constitutional claim. And she said you don't have state action, so you can't invoke the federal constitution.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I believe she erred in that regard, too. We alleged in the complaint that a substantial amount of funding for Santa Clara University comes from federal grants and funding and tied to
The case law, do you have a case that
I do,
what's the strongest case you rely that you think
well,
what
there,
do you think is the strongest case that supports your argument that merely receiving funds requires or establishes that the University of Santa Clara is acting as a state actor terminated your client.
That wasn't my argument, Your Honor. It wasn't solely that they received federal funding. It's also that as a condition of that funding, they're required to enforce the various federal statutes, including the ADA.
That theory hasn't worked in any case, has it? Do you have any case that says that?
I do, Your Honor. There's a case, Scott versus Northwestern University.
What's the name of it?
Scott versus Northwestern University.
That in your brief?
It's not, Your Honor.
It's not?
No.
Well, our law clerks are very good, but you know they don't get everything.
Well, I should have cited it. I thought the cases we cited were adequate, but in reviewing it,
well, we checked, and just as Judge Edelman said, there doesn't seem to be a case out there that supports your argument.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, Scott versus Northwestern.
Is that a district court case, or is
it
that
is.
A Seventh Circuit case from Chicago?
No, it's a Northern District of Illinois case, 1999, Westlaw 134059. And that case, a student was dismissed from the university, supposedly violating policies, I think, intimidating other students or bad conduct. University police came in to enforce the law, cited him, and then he was dismissed from the school, and he claimed that it was on racial grounds. So the issue was whether a 1983 claim had been stated, whether and the court held that yes, because the university was enforcing a federal statute or required the university to enforce the statute, and there had been a potential violation, 1983 claim had been stated. I would like to get to the other points, though. So I believe there's federal jurisdiction. The court shouldn't have dismissed those claims and shouldn't have refused to retain supplemental jurisdiction over the state law claims.
What happened to the state law claims in the intervening months?
After the court issued its decision, I think we had 30 days to file an action in state court. And
did
so
you do
I
that?
Did. We did.
And what's the status of it today?
It's pending. And the
there been any
Santa
activity?
Clara. Excuse me?
Has there been any activity in the case, like a motion
yes.
to dismiss? Discovery,
yeah,
depositions.
There's discovery, depositions. No rulings. We've got a trial setting date, a case management date set for April. I think it's April 14th of this year. So we're pursuing those claims, but. Respectfully, Your Honor, we believe this case was first filed here. It should be litigated here. Here in the district court, and a preliminary injunction should have been issued. We believe that all the elements for a preliminary injunction apply. We were up here once before a prior panel. Reversed and remanded to Judge Code to apply the proper standards and analyze it, and respectfully, and in particular, to look at the Chalk case, which we cite at length, where it was almost identical. You had a high school teacher. He was dismissed because he had AIDS. the court felt, and he brought a claim to get reinstated and asked for a preliminary injunction pending a hearing, or I mean a trial court proceeding. And this the district court denied the preliminary injunction. This court reversed in Chalk in the Chalk case and held that there was irreparable harm by dismissing in this case a tenured professor without an opportunity to defend himself. And that's what we're asking for. And I cited your honors to some supplemental authority with regard the Quintez Cephas case. It was decided recently where University of Wisconsin football player was accused of raping, sexually harassing and raping two women. The he denied it. The university, based solely on the allegations, dismissed him from the football team, dismissed him from the school, and expelled him. He finally gets his day in court. He goes to trial a year later, wins. The jury is out 45 minutes, and he's acquitted on both sexual harassment and rape charges. And then the school reinstates him, and he's put back on the football team. But the point is that he had to go through a year and a half where he was deemed guilty without any a fair hearing, and that's what our position is.
Okay. If,
I'm sorry.
You wanted to save some time for rebuttal, so you're down to 3 minutes.
Thank you.
All right. We'll hear from the counsel for the university.
Thank you. May it please the court. Don Willenberg for Santa Clara University and Jane Doe. This professor was suspended from teaching after a third-party report that ultimately totaled over 130 pages found that he'd sexually harassed a student. A university official agreed and kicked it up to the provost. The provost agreed and decided to terminate. The professor exercised his right to appeal to the university president, who affirmed the sanction. The professor exercised his right to appeal to the faculty judicial board. The faculty judicial board held 3 days of hearings, 9 witnesses. The professor was represented by counsel who cross-examined Jane Doe. The judicial board determined that she had given compelling and credible testimony that the professor had kissed her against his will, her will, had put his hand up her shirt, had asked her if she'd ever had sex with another woman, asked her if she would come to his house when his wife wasn't there. The same board found his testimony not credible and upheld the sanction. He's now terminated. He now seeks to reverse an order denying his request for a mandatory injunction, compelling his reinstatement on the ground that he shouldn't be terminated or suspended ever until there's been a court trial or its equivalent. There is no case that so holds. The law allows employers to discipline their employees for violations of policies without a court trial, and he's certainly got plenty of process. He's unlikely to succeed on the merits, as this court knows, for a mandatory injunction. That's the doubly demanding standard, that the law and facts clearly favor the moving party. So let's look at the claims. The 1983 claim, he says that the Santa Clara University is a state actor. The only cases that he's cited for that now is an unpublished or is a district court case that we haven't heard of before. It's true. There aren't other cases that would so hold. What he is saying, arguing, is that just because you get funds or have a common purpose as a government program, you're therefore a state actor. No. all the cases require a substantial involvement, joint action. He will not succeed on his age discrimination claim, whether he pled it correctly or not. The opening brief doesn't describe any additional facts suggesting why age was the motivating factor. And to the contrary, there's abundant facts about why the university took this action. Again, four levels of review, an evidentiary hearing. He was represented by counsel. His argument is, she's lying. Well, that would actually only be relevant to his defamation cause of action, if that. It wouldn't be relevant to whether or not he was discriminated against on the basis of age. It's certainly not relevant as to whether or not Santa Clara University is a state actor. And it also doesn't, it just doesn't hold water. The she's lying story requires one to believe that this student lied in 2015 when she first reported the harassment, but didn't follow through. Then she lied again in 2017 to investigators because she was complicit in a scheme to help set him up for, to be a ruse to cover age discrimination. There's no chance of success on the merits.
Was this decided on? This was decided on a motion to dismiss, correct?
Well, it was a motion to dismiss, which is part of it, and there was also a motion, his motion for injunction.
Well, you're up here on the motion to dismiss because she dismissed the case.
Both were asked, and I'm happy to address those. Yes.
Did she or not dismiss
yes,
the case?
She dismissed the case. Yes.
Did you ask her to dismiss the ADA claim because he hadn't properly pled it?
Yes.
What's missing in his pleading?
Well, one thing that's missing in the pleading.
There are four elements, right?
Yes. And
has he pled
those elements.
Then why should he dismiss?
Well, because what he also said, what we were asking, well, was it because of age discrimination? And if you read the pleading,
it was done to discriminate against him because of his age.
Yes, he does. This, he does say that once.
Paragraph 61, page 19.
Yes.
933.
He does say that once. He also says that in a count that says you violated my contract rights.
There's no question that it was inartfully pleaded.
Okay.
Is that not a base? Is that a sufficient basis not to allow him to amend and artfully plead it in a separate cause of action?
Well, Your Honor, the other reason that he...
The answer to that is no, right? So.
Now I forget the question, so I'm not sure I want to answer it.
Well, you wanted to go to another issue, so I figured... All right, go ahead.
The court said not only did I ask you once to redraft this and you didn't do it the way I asked or suggested, but also said that to give grant further leave to amend would be prejudicial to the parties because they'd already been there twice.
The first time she said you haven't pleaded the essential elements of a cause of action. In the First Amendment complaint, he does plead those four elements. Next time she says you didn't plead it separately. Why shouldn't he have a chance to plead it separately? Is my question.
I will say again, Your Honor, that I would rest on her finding that would be prejudicial to the parties, given that they've been there for.
What's the prejudice to the university other than you have to file a motion to dismiss or a motion for summary judgment?
Well, in fact, that's exactly what Judge Coe said.
He wouldn't be in this position Never mind.
That's correct. Judge Coe said that the parties have already been here twice. I think she said if you amended it, I couldn't decide another motion to dismiss for 5 months given the court's congested calendar. And that was the rationale on that part of the dismissal.
Okay.
Thank you.
You had some time left.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, I'd ask your honors to
to look at...
Would you move in front of the microphone, please?
I'd ask Your Honors to take another look at the 15 emails. This alleged, you know, the assertion that there's some kind of basis for sexual harassment is belied by by Ms. Zhang's own email.
Don't go to the merits of the case.
I understand that, Your Honor, okay, all right. Well, all I wanted to say...
We understand the allegations in the complaint and whatnot. That's not in play here. Some very technical arguments are what's at stake.
Right, and we believe that we ought to be allowed to amend. Yes. It was improper.
We've got it.
To dismiss.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. The matter is submitted at this time.